The legislature gets to work, and so do the Dakota political junkies, although they never really stop. Jonathan Ellis is a columnist and reporter for the Argus Leader. He's on the phone with us from Sioux Falls. Jonathan, welcome back.
Greetings, Lori.
Seth Tupper, enterprise reporter for the Rapid City Journal. Seth, thanks for being here as well.
You're welcome.
Seth, let's talk about your overall impressions now that we have a general overview of the state of the state and the opening of the session. Some things that stood out for you. Where do you want to start?
Well, yeah, I think mostly a lot of it was a review of what Governor Dugard views as his major accomplishments over the last 7 years, and then it was just kind of sprinkled with a few new things. Some of the things that stood out to me that kind of got lost in the speech, you know, that goes on for an hour or more, was he talked a little bit about post-secondary education and the need to bolster that and to get more people going into tech schools and getting those kind of jobs. But one of the things he mentioned was he had these stats about among the roughly 10,000 ninth graders, kids who entered ninth grade in 2006, he reduced that to, you know, 100 for a manageable number, and said that if you think of for every 100 kids who entered ninth grade in 2006 in South Dakota, 23 did not graduate. And that number, to me, is somewhat astonishing when you think about that and the potential impact of that on people's lives and the economy. But other things that sort of got lost that I thought were notable were on the alcohol issue. You know, he's proposing to change some of the microbrewery laws, but that's part of apparently a broader effort to sort of overhaul all of our alcohol laws, which Governor Dugard called a mess, which he said, you know, basically date to prohibition and been sort of cobbled together and amended over the years, but never really been looked at comprehensively. And, you know, the Medicaid issue, that's going to be, I think that could bring some national attention to South Dakota. We'll see how much of a fight that becomes, but certainly you're going to see Democrats opposing, trying to enforce a work requirement on people on Medicaid, and that could become a flashpoint potentially nationally. And there were several other things that stood out, but those were a few things. I mean, there's so much in that speech, and you can only focus on, you know, a few things when you're writing stories about it, but then there are other things in there that little nuggets like that pop out and sometimes miss the attention.
Jonathan Ellis, what were your thoughts? Some of the things that stood out to you?
Well, certainly the beer, Lori. Certainly the beer. That really stood out.
It's all about the beer, right?
It's all about the beer. Which is interesting. You know, and as Seth says, a lot of these laws start with a repeal of prohibition back in the 1930s, and, you know, states were kind of left on their own to cobble together their own alcohol, how they were going to deal with alcohol. And I think that, you know, it depends on how far he's willing to, quote, perform surgery in the mess of laws, but regarding alcohol policy in South Dakota, but that could trigger really one of the big political fights of the session, because, you know, wholesalers in South Dakota have a lot of power and have exercised a lot of political power over the years to, you know, ensure that the status quo kind of remained the same. I mean, it took years of fighting just to even be able to get to order a bottle of wine off the internet, and even that is cumbersome as opposed to other states. So, you know, that could be a really interesting political fight, again, depending on how far they want to get into it. I mean, the wholesalers want to control, of course, you know, he's talking about the local breweries, the microbreweries, you know, being able to sell direct to retailers. I mean, yeah, that's something that, again, I think could possibly trigger a big political fight.
Okay, you know, lay that out for me just a little more before we go out on, because yesterday I was talking about that and I couldn't quite see, you know, what the political fight was going to be. So it's going to be wholesalers saying, no, those microbreweries have to come through us, and then we pass them on to retailers. Is that what you're saying?
Okay. I mean, as current law stands now, you know, before any kind of sales can take place, and this isn't just micro, but, you know, alcohol sales go through the wholesalers, who then distribute to retailers. And, you know, over the years, again, they are significant. The wholesalers are significant political players in this state and have been for a very, very long time. So that could be an interesting political fight. And as Seth said, the Medicaid issue, the work requirement. There are some other states that have talked about that, that kind of waiver, and there may even already be some states that have that kind of a waiver. But that's certainly something you hear a lot of Republicans in other states talk about, that kind of an issue. So that'll be something. If the Republicans decide they want to do it, there's not a lot of stop. You know, they have the governor. There's not a lot of stopping them. And it's interesting. It to me that proposal kind of tells a story of the two Dugards. You know, over the course of now this nearly 8-year run, you have the very conservative side of Dennis Dugard, the guy who's like comes into office and we're just going to cut 10% of everybody's budget. You know, the fiscal conservative, and the guy is socially conservative, and that fits in very well with this Medicaid work requirement. And then on the other side, you have the fact that the governor had unsuccessfully tried for a couple of years to actually expand Medicaid. So it's an interesting, you know, the two sides of Dennis Dugard.
Seth Tupper, I want to talk about something that the governor covered that you've also written about, and that's the STAR Academy. There are some messages in his State of the State that might be directed to some of the lawmakers who were upset about that sale. Would you like to give us an update since that's in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, it goes back last week. I attended the auction. The state went at the Custer County Courthouse in Custer. They held an auction for the former campus of the STAR Academy, which is south of Custer and was formerly a juvenile detention treatment facility. And it was sort of a bizarre scene where you had just about 75 people there, most of them curious onlookers, a few people who were thinking about bidding on the place. And you had this group of very conservative lawmakers, including some Julie Freidmuller, also Tim Goodwin from out here, and Neil Capio from Florida, and were to basically protest the auction and try to stop it from going forward, because they think that the state's juvenile justice reforms that they enacted a couple of years ago have passed the burden of detaining and treating and dealing with trouble. That burden has been passed down to local schools and county sheriffs and things like that. And these lawmakers contend that a place like the STAR campus is still needed. Well, they were unsuccessful in stopping that. There were some rumblings about maybe when the legislative session began, they would try to do something legislatively. And I think what you saw in Governor Dugard was he didn't call them out by name or anything, but there were several messages to them in there, including one that at one point I think he said something to the effect of, locking up children because they're difficult to deal with is not acceptable. And he spoke in pretty blunt terms. Referenced his own experience in the past for the children in some society, two falls and lessons he learned there. So I think he was sending a message that, you know, he believed very strongly in his juvenile justice. He's not going to ground on that as far as
I think I'm losing you a little bit on your phone there. So I'm going to talk to Jonathan for a minute, and hopefully our producers can fix Seth Tupper's phone so we can get the full message there about the STAR Academy in Custer. And Jonathan, let's bounce back over to you. And any thoughts on juvenile justice? Is that something that's playing out in communities like Sioux Falls, where, you know, the size of it would indicate that you have some of the same concerns about juvenile justice, but yet the facility was so far away?
Well, that facility was controversial. Again, and you know, that's, for example, Brady Folkins died there, and there's been some controversy surrounding the state's role in that. But, you know, there again, some lawmakers, and there are local governments who kind of complain that the juvenile justice reform, you know, has meant that some of the problems that maybe the state would have handled have now been foisted onto, you know, local governments. You have school districts that were concerned about the fact that, you know, that truancies and things of that nature were not being dealt with, or, you know, drinking, underage, things of that nature were not being dealt with as harshly as they once were. And so they felt like they've been left with some of the problems. So you've had some of those concerns uttered by local governments. But clearly, in terms of the, you know, I haven't looked at the percentages recently, but in the first, I think, year and a half, the, you know, incarceration rates of juveniles and the Department of Corrections were down, you know, substantially. So clearly, you know, fewer juveniles going into the jail system. The effort of that was to try to get them treated in sort of community type settings. If you had substance abuse, you know, you don't take a kid who's been smoking pot or whatever, and send them to Star Academy. You try to get some kind of treatment through through in-community counseling services and things of that nature. And so now, yeah, we're seeing some pushback from some lawmakers who think that it's gone too far in one direction, in which juveniles are not being dealt with as harshly as they should be. So that's the reaction, and that's what Seth wrote about, certainly with some criticisms of the state selling the Star Academy.
Seth, let's jump to the race for governor, because you also wrote this week about online sales tax. A little bit of a leap here, but give us an overview.
Yeah, can you hear me okay now?
I think you're good now.
Okay, I'm in our fortress of a building here. Maybe my cell signal is bad. I wrote about...
Now, we have this beautiful studio at the Black Hills Bureau, Seth. Walk down the street.
Well, yeah, nobody's there, apparently. So
they're all in Pierre. I'm sorry. They're hard at work in Pierre, South Dakota now. So,
Yeah, this does relate to the governor's address, because, the drain on the state budget from the growth in online sales and the failure of some online sellers to pay sales tax has really removed untold millions from the state budget. And one of the interesting little races within the governor's race right now is that, the state is actively suing Wayfair and some other online sellers to try to get a decision from the U.S. Supreme Court that would force online sellers to pay sales tax. Representing the state in that case is Attorney General Marty Jackley, who's running for the Republican nomination for governor. At the same time, U.S. Representative Kristi Noem has a bill in Congress that would essentially achieve the same goal, would force online sellers to pay sales tax, without a court decision. It would just be a law. And she says that she's got basically a guarantee from the president that they're going to get that bill passed this year. Meanwhile, we could hear as soon as this month whether the Supreme Court is going to take up South Dakota's lawsuit. So it's, depending on who can achieve success on that first, they potentially have a big win for their candidacy for governor. Or if either of them, one or the other, or both fail, they potentially have, take some of the blame for not being able to solve this issue when they had an opportunity.
Interesting. Jonathan, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, sales tax and this whole concept of being able to tax internet sales has had vast bipartisan support in South Dakota for well over a decade. Probably even, a lot of this relates back to the 1992 Quill decision, which left it up to Congress to do something about the issue of taxation when parties don't have a physical presence in another state. And Congress never did, and that's certainly the effort that Kristi Noem and John Thune has also made some legislative forays into that area unsuccessfully. And so now you've had this, the Supreme Court is willing to, has tipped its hand, possibly willing to take this case. And so I think Seth is right. I mean, you have both, these two major Republican candidates, both trying to seek sort of the pot of gold in which Republicans and Democrats across the state for a very long time have generally been in support of the ability of the state government to tax internet sales.
Hmm. Or it's possible they're just both working very hard to represent us. Right?
Oh.
It's like the crickets chirp. Like, you couldn't be that optimistic and just say that they're doing their jobs. It has to be political, right?
Well, you're correct. They are doing their jobs. And again, this has been very from state lawmakers for a very long time. And Kristi Noem was a state lawmaker that they supported the internet taxation. So you're right. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm just being. I'm usually my cynical self.
I would say, Laurie, it's in that sweet spot where it's something needed for the state and is legitimate, but there's also a political benefit, and that is, that's the sweet spot for a politician to be able to combine those two things.
Right. Everybody wins in some ways. Unless, of course, you don't want internet sales tax, in which case you're on the other side of this issue.
That would be Americans for Prosperity, but otherwise, I don't know of other people who, any organized opposition to it.
All right. Jonathan Ellis, you can find his work at ArgusLeader.com. Seth Tupper, you can find at RapidCityJournal.com. Thank you both for being here. We appreciate your time. See you next time.
Thanks, Laurie.
Yeah, thanks.